Welcome back to Simply Us. This is episode 42. I am Rob.
And I'm Victoria.
Today, to start off, we actually have a little bit of feedback. So we actually got from Mr. The Shark, Rob the Shark, commented over on our website on our last episode, and he said, "My itch of curiosity was scratched, but you mentioned another future twist in the love story that will have listeners waiting for the imaginary summer till the show comes back and concludes the cliffhanger. Maybe a quick finality at the start of the next episode or anything that doesn't leave the story at a cliffhanger. I'm not wondering about this future possible breakup." Well, we didn't ever break up again. Let me just say that as a comment to this. We don't want to leave the cliffhanger hanging there. I mean, you said it in the comment on the website.
Yeah, I responded to him.
You know, I just figured we'd throw it out there because
yeah,
we got a comment. We wanted to read it. We like reading our comments when we get them. So there's that. The story's not just we got together and that was it.
Right. I think we will have maybe next month we'll do another part because these episodes, I've had a few people that I didn't know listened at all, or maybe they haven't listened before and they said, "Oh, I listened to the first part of you guys dating."
Yeah.
And I never listened. Like that was one feedback that I got.
Okay.
But other than that, we have when we first told each other we loved each other has an interesting story to it. So that will probably be the next part of our story.
Yeah.
But today we are going to be talking about thankfulness.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be better to say thankfulness and contentedness.
Yes.
Because I think that kind of goes hand in hand to really flesh out the whole mindset that we have about it. Because it's one thing to be thankful, but you can still be thankful and not content, I think.
Okay.
So I think to put them together, especially this time of year, you know, going through Thanksgiving, we just experienced Thanksgiving in the States on this past Thursday, so 3 days ago, you know, and we're coming now into December, obviously, and it gets into the Christmas rush.
Right.
So everything kind of just goes haywire.
Uh-huh.
So that's where I mean, you know, you can be thankful for having a family and a place to live, but you might still be all rushing about
this.
And the hustle and bustle about, like, you know, having to get ready for Christmas. So that's where I think contentedness is a separate part that we want to maybe talk about a little bit today. But to get into that, we asked on Facebook, Thanksgiving might be over, but we still want to know what you are thankful for today. So unfortunately, we only got one response.
And I also asked on Instagram in a story, and so many people looked at it, but no one responded.
Mm. Well, that's okay. At least we got one.
We got one. So thank you to the one, because you make us happy.
Mm-hmm. And the response was, "I'm thankful for time spent with loved ones and for a place to live and a job I am passionate about."
Hmm.
Which,
that's very good.
All very, very good things.
I'm thankful that we have someone that left a comment.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, we just talked about two people that left comments.
Yes,
so
I am thankful that people leave comments. And I will try to be thankful when people don't.
Yeah. You know what? I'm kind of learning it from doing the streaming stuff that I'm okay without the engagement. Because I know that we're putting the thing out there, you know, whether it's my stream or the podcast.
And we know people are listening.
Exactly. We know there are people that are listening. So I'm happy. It would be nice to have engagement, but I'm not, you know,
you're not begging for it.
I'm not begging for it. I'm not going to, you know, push anybody to it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Lurk as long as you want.
And another little part before we get into thankfulness is I have a new podcast. So I just wanted to plug it in that I decided to review some romantic comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to romcommovienightin.net. Yep. You can listen to the episodes there or on iTunes and I think maybe Google Play, not sure.
I think it's up on Google. I would have to double check, but
yeah.
But
they're short episodes too. They're only up to 15 minutes. I haven't even had one go over 12 yet.
Well, you've only got one released right now.
Oh, yes, yes. Ooh, I recorded a few.
But yes, there are some in the pipeline.
Yes.
And they're all short is the point.
Right.
So they're
by the time this comes out, there will be two episodes out.
Yeah. So, I will also make sure there's a link to that on the Simply Us page in
the
links or about or whatever. Or, yeah, we'll probably throw it in the show notes.
You know what I'm really thankful for?
New cups and cinnamon hot cocoa.
I got this nice new mug because I had a mug that needed to be replaced and it was way too small. And this is a big mug. It fits so nicely in my hands. And I've got this cocoa with cinnamon flavor and it's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for it.
It was very good. It's like you said, it's very much like a chai latte tea, but it's cocoa.
Yeah.
With that flavor. So it is really good.
Mm.
You can probably, I said this before, you can probably get the idea of what this tastes like if you imagine chewing on a stick of Big Red and taking a sip of hot cocoa with the Big Red in your mouth.
Right. I wonder if I just made cocoa and put a little bit of cinnamon in it.
Probably would do the same thing.
I should try that too.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's delicious.
Yes, you gave me a sip and it was very good. So, as we were saying though, the overall theme that we want to do for today was just thankfulness and like contentedness and I think just the idea of adjusting your mindset, especially in this time of year, around right. like what is your desire or goal. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but the way I like to kind of think of this overall topic is at least the way that I think of it for myself, Hatebreed's first or second, I guess technically their second album, first full-length album, was titled Satisfaction is the Death of the Desire. Right? So when I was growing up, I was always like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's kind of like a messed up way to think about things, but it makes sense. Like, you're not going to desire the thing if you get satisfied by it. Okay. But it's a lie, though.
I'm a little confused by this saying, though. So
satisfaction is the death of desire. So okay. if you desire something
right.
and then you satisfy that desire, that's the death of it.
But then the problem do you enjoy is, that was satisfied at all?
Well, like, but that's my point, though, is that it's not really true, right? Because you figure, especially in our very like Western modern world, we will always desire the next thing.
Right.
Like, you know, especially I think of it mostly in light of, for instance, I spend a lot of time watching YouTube with like technology stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to see how short lifespans are for like technology nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's like literally either every 6 months or every 12 months, there's a new product version of something.
Well, you know what they also have is with like the fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that you had the four seasons that
right.
you go through. Now it's like almost every single day is its own season for a change
crazy.
Of clothing that people can't keep up with it because it's like you have to buy a new thing every mm-hmm. day.
But yeah, and that's why I think that the album title is like a joke because you may satisfy a particular desire, but the problem is if you condition yourself to have a desire and then to satisfy it, all you're going to have is more desires and you're going to need to satisfy those desires more and more.
Right.
So now over the last couple of years, with the way we've changed the way we think, I started to see it more that the death of desire is satisfaction. And it kind of comes in a little bit from like what I've been learning with like my
that was
reading
very philosophical
about like Zen and stuff like that, because it's very much like the whole death of self thing, like
right,
all of that,
right? Which is also a Christian aspect as mm-hmm. well.
But so that's the whole, you know, when you think about that whole death of desire is satisfaction, because you know, like I said, especially if you stop focusing on things you want, because most of the time it's things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, you don't really experience this with experiences, I don't think. I mean, I guess you could. If you travel a lot and you always want to go to the next place,
right,
you could
right.
get that.
I feel that way sometimes.
But I think that's different, though. Like, I don't think that's the same kind of negative version of it.
Okay.
I think, like, the materialistic side of this is more of a big deal, I think. But so, if you put to death those desires, you find like a level of satisfaction that you never would by satisfying those desires.
Mm.
Like in my mind, it may not be the same for everybody.
Right.
And I mean, this is even one thing I actually wanted to talk about earlier in the episode, not that we're like an hour in or anything, but I don't want this to come across as us being preachy at all.
Right.
Like we're just here to talk about where we are and
how we got
how
here.
We've kind of learned to be satisfied, you know, and to be content.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were in the whole hustle and bustle.
Right.
All of our lives up until a couple of years ago of, you know,
more than a couple Thanksgiving. Of years ago, but yes.
Well, but my point is though, we were in the whole, gotta go out and do the Christmas shopping. We gotta do this, gotta do that. And like always wanting the newest and the best. I mean, maybe more me than you with the wanting to go out. But when we started to cut things back and declutter and minimize and, you know, get more simple, you know, we started to realize like there is such a satisfaction in not seeing the shortcomings of your life.
Right. Well, like even a few years ago, I had a journal I kept where I listed things I was thankful for. And sometimes when I would say what I was thankful for, it would be like watching a ray of light coming onto the floor and just staring at it a bit and being thankful that I had the ability to have a window that could bring that in. Something that simple would really make me feel that contentedness, like, wow, like I really enjoy this. And sometimes I'd say, I'm really thankful that I have the ability to have eyeglasses so I could see when I'm reading.
Yep.
Because if I didn't have that ability, I wouldn't be able to enjoy my book. So just things that are simple, they have a lot to do with being thankful and to be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
And I feel like what is important is to change the culture of our mindset, especially with the oncoming season. And that goes with how we deal with our children, because they are the future and they're able to take what we teach.
This is the future.
Yeah, the future is now.
Sorry, it's a song.
So anyway, like, for instance, we don't buy presents for our children.
Right.
And that might sound really mean to a lot of people.
Or for each other.
Or for each other. It's been a long time.
Just because some couples may be like, what, you don't even buy anything for each other?
Right, we don't buy each other anything. See, I didn't even think about it because, like, I'm so used to not buying presents for you and you not buying me presents. And, you know, some people, they'd be like, oh, that's so sad. Because you should, because you love each other, you should share in gift giving. But, no, we love to just be with each other and to share our love in that way. Rather than having to give, like, well, here you go.
Yeah.
I thought you'd like this diamond necklace that you're never going to wear. Or that cost me way too much money. So you've never bought me a diamond necklace. It's just an example.
Well, I think the other part of it, too, which I don't remember how much it actually played into our decision not to do the gift giving. But we love our sons, you know, 365 days a year. It's not like on their birthday or on Christmas or, you know, every couple of months. Like, we don't pick certain days out of the year that we love them, that we want to shower them with gifts. You know, we try to show them that we love them all the time, whether it's through just sitting down together and watching a movie or, like, our vacation experiences we've had or just other random things that we do. You know, we've talked about picking up and just going to the zoo one day because we're just sitting around at home. Why not do something else? And so those things always end up being so much more important to them than any items we've given them. I've never had them come back to me months later about a present that we got them.
That's true.
And say like, oh, I'm so glad that you had gotten this for me. You know, like they're still talking about how when we went to Virginia a year and a half ago, how, like, that was, like, the best experience of their life. And, like, I guarantee you, there's not a single toy or video game or anything that we've gotten them that can equal that.
Right. Well, even this morning, I said to Micah, I was like, what do you think about having more toys or whatever? You have what you need, right? He's like, yeah, I could just make new things. And he's showing me, like,
because with Legos, he builds all kinds of things.
He's like, yeah, I've got this that I made and this. And so he was seeing that he didn't need any more toys. He's got everything he needs to be creative with and to make new experiences, I guess, for himself and use his imagination to come up with new ideas. And I really like that he didn't say, like, well, you know, I kind of wish you would get me a present or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's not that way at all. They are really happy with what they have, and they see that throughout the year we get them whatever they need or even sometimes will want.
Well, yeah, depending sometimes on they what have, it is. Yeah, exactly. They do have sometimes desires, and we will try to satisfy that within like a reasonable whatever our guidelines are for that. We do splurge every once in a while, but not like we don't just buy tons of gifts at random.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the flip side to this is that the funny things with Lado, we have, I'm not going to say the opposite, but for instance, kind of going with the contentedness thing, Lado, on the other hand, he'll want to either play a video game or watch me play a video game sometimes, or he may want to watch something on the TV.
Or read a book.
Or, you know. Well, but I'm even saying that there are times where he'll come to me, oh, can you do this for me? Or, asking me, can I play a game that he can watch?
Okay.
Like, if we tell him, because, you know, they do get limits on screen time. So there will be times where he'll be, like, done watching TV for the day. And he'll ask me to play something so he can watch it. Kind of is, like, a way to get around that screen time restriction. But, you know, if I'm in the middle of doing something else, I'll be like, no, you need to just sit, you know, maybe get a book. Well, I don't want to get a book. Well, why don't you go play with your brother? I don't want to play with my brother. Well, then you need to learn how to be bored.
Yep.
I tell him all the time. I mean, both of them we do, but I think more of a problem with Lado, where we
usually
tell him.
Usually Mike is like, okay, I'll go find something
like
to
do. Said,
so
he'll come and do Legos or draw. I mean, he's got these silly pig drawings that he did just the other day, where he's got like this like pig kingdom where there's all these different, it's cute.
They're Egyptian pigs.
Yeah. So that's the other side of it too, is that we also want to try to instill that in the boys more, that, like you said, you're thankful to be able to sit in the room and see the sun, you know, on the floor. You know, like Lado doesn't get that yet. And we're trying to.
But at the same time, he could spend hours reading a book.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, which I got to cut him a little bit more of a slack with this. But, you know, if we're out somewhere where there's like a pond or a river, he'd be perfectly fine sitting there watching the water for like hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that they're okay with, you know, taking it easier.
But I feel like they live in a more thankful state than I think we did as kids.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's because we grew up accepting that the hustle and bustle, like, I'm talking about the season specifically just because we're in it.
Yeah.
But our lives in general, we were brought up more in the hustle and bustle style world. Like, you know, where there are these things that you should desire, and if you don't get them, you should work until you do get them. Because that's kind of the American way.
Right.
That's what they, you know, we were taught. You know, if you want something, you work your butt off to get it. Like, as opposed to learning how to be satisfied where you are. Like, it's, I mean, maybe that's more of like a other side of the world kind of mindset, but that's what we're trying to teach the boys, is that you don't need to always desire the next thing.
Right.
You know, you have, as you said, everything that they need right now. They have a house, they have clothing, they have food and drink if they need anything, you know, and they have us to talk to. So we want to raise them to know that you don't need more. Like, and not that we're trying to tell them, you don't need that. Like, we don't mean it like that. It's just that, like learn to accept that this is a lot of stuff. You know, we've talked to them, which sometimes feels rude, maybe even preachy. But we make the point to them, think about kids in other places in the world. You know, like, we've watched kids that, you know, from, like, Africa.
Yeah.
Like, African countries.
This was a few years ago when they were still learning about the rest of the world, though. It's not, like, recent.
Well, no, it's
not recent.
When they
were really little, we would show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we would tell them, you know, there are kids that, you know, make toy trucks out of, like, empty water. Not water, but whatever.
Gas
like,
jugs and
yeah,
stuff.
Like, empty gas jugs. Like, they would make toys out of those.
Yeah.
So, I think the boys, you know, they're aware of that now. So, they're probably aware of how much they have
now,
more than they've ever been. And that's why they're content as they are.
With the homeschool group that we're a part of, many times moms will come up to me and they'll say, I have so many toys, I don't know what to do with it. And with the season coming up, I don't know what to do. I have so many toys that, but I have to give them toys because it's Christmas. And I have to buy them things so they don't feel left out. Mm-hmm. And this is what they tell me. And I say, why? And they have no answer.
Because that's...
They just like want to say, well, because their friends are going to get stuff or whatever. And they're comparing to people like, you know, it wouldn't be right if I didn't while they're friends. And I was like, you don't have to.
Yeah. But again, because these other parents who are usually right around our age, they grew up in that westernized needing to do that. You know, so that's like, we may have been away from it for a few years, but we were there.
Yeah.
When the boys were little, we got them stuff for Christmas and everything. And we bought into that whole thing of getting them presents when they didn't need them.
Right.
So I can give those parents a break, but it's still, yeah, it's sad that they feel I have to do this, even though we already have too much. Like, you don't have to do it.
So that's why I make a point. I say to them, if they have everything they need, then don't do it just because you feel like you're obligated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we want to talk about changing the culture some more. So the culture tells us to get stuff, to have all that you can for them to enjoy the holiday and feel grateful for you because you get them things or whatever.
Yep.
But our sons, we've now done a few years where they don't get anything, but we do give them money here and there to put in their savings for a future car or whatever.
Yep.
And they're like, okay. They're like, oh, sounds good because I already have what I need.
Yep. And that's where it's interesting to think that, okay, we're only one family.
Right.
But, I mean, now we're doing the podcast. Who knows if that'll affect anything. But the fact that these other parents, other mothers mainly, have talked to you about this stuff, you know, maybe you can kind of, introduce them to this other way of life, this simpler way of life.
Oh, yeah, they know, and they ask me for advice all the time on minimalism. Yeah.
Well, I know that, because I know that plenty of them have asked you to come and help them declutter and stuff, so. But as these kids grow up, you know, that's what we mean about changing the culture. We're not saying that we want to take a crazy revolution and, like, make everybody burn all of what they have. But it's about slowly altering the mindset of the culture. You know, maybe not slowly. Sometimes, you know, it can happen fast.
Because you can't teach them to be thankful for what they have, but then go, well, here, I'm going
to spend $300. Yeah, but make a list of the things that you want. Like, you know, be happy and content, but tell me what things you want that would make you even happier. Like, no.
And because it's not going to really ultimately make them happy. And then you've got all this stuff that you're going to have to throw out later because that's what happens.
Yep.
By summertime, I hear it the most from parents saying, oh, there are just so many things we have and I don't know what to do with it all. It's like, well, maybe if you didn't buy them so much, especially in December, maybe you wouldn't have all this stuff that you don't know what to do with, that they don't play with. So if you were really, really intentional with what you bought, that would maybe help the situation.
Yeah. The other side of it, which you just mentioned, which we haven't talked about, is that we're not saying you don't buy anything. Like, we're not telling you don't ever buy your kids anything again.
That's just what our choice is.
Yeah. But maybe the point would be, instead of just asking your kids for a list of things they want, maybe have a discussion with them about, well, what will this, you know, why do you want this? What would be the benefit of having this? So, right, like, you can think of when I was a kid, I always wanted, like, a remote control car. You know, that was like, it would be fun to have a remote control car and I could drive it around because, you know, it's a remote control car.
Yeah.
But how much did a remote control car ever actually do for me, you know, whether it's, you know, education or just like any kind of a lasting enjoyment? Did it actually do anything for me? Versus, you know, like my 1 year getting a boombox where I could actually listen to music on my own, you know, which would actually be more beneficial? Or maybe even the same kind of thing, which my boys have had now a Snap Circuit kit for, I think they've had that like 2 years now. Maybe even longer than that. But this past week, all of a sudden they pulled it out again. And they're playing with it. And they're trying to like learn. And they've actually like learned things over the last couple days that they didn't even know about using the snap circuits.
I think they created their own versions because they went through everything, because there are like 100 ways that you could use it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've started to create their own ways of using it that aren't included in the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why at some point they had put it aside and gave up on it. And usually I would be like, okay, they're not playing with this. I'll remove it. But to see that they pulled it out again when they were bored and to figure it out, that was definitely like, good, thank you.
And that's what I'm thinking as far as having the discussion, is that, you know, snap circuits may just seem like an erector set, which even an erector set, you're learning how to use tools and how to put things together.
Right.
Same kind of thing with snap circuits. It's learning about electricity and how to wire things. So, you know, those are jobs. Like when people grow up, you know, being in construction or being an electrical worker, you know, that can start with an erector set or a snap circuit kit. So that's why I suggested having a discussion with your kids about what they want and what they really want out of it. Because it makes it worth more than just the couple of months worth of playing with a toy and then having to deal with getting rid of it, you know, in the summertime or whatever.
To move this over to how adults can be more thankful, because I feel like our children feed off of us. So if they see that you're content and you're thankful for what you have and that you're not constantly getting new things, that it will show them that they also can just have what they have instead of wanting more and more. Yep. So they feed off of your energy and want to create based off of what they see the favorite people in their lives do. So for an example, even though it's not a possession type of thing, so to say, I'm just going to give an example of a story of mine where, was it 2 weeks ago or so, my car broke down about three times. And my type of car, it has this wire that just I have to shake a little bit and then it starts up again. And it kept doing it every time I would start the car. I had to go open it up and shake it. And there was one time it was taking forever to finally start up that I had actually called my dad, who was working. He works one day a week. He's retired otherwise, but he came, he was two roads away. So I had him come over and he knows the situation. So he shook the wire and it worked for him. And I was like, thanks. And anyway, in those moments, I could have been really angry and like, what, this again? And the boys, they would come over and they would watch me like, oh, I think it's this wire. And no, not that one. Let's try again. And I kept doing that. So they saw my attitude that I was like, oh, well, you know, these things happen. And it had been something that happened last year, too. And it had happened once. So this time then it was every day.
Yeah, you had it a bunch of times in a row this time.
So you took the car for me and you were able to get it fixed, which was a wire that was attached to my starter and the battery. So that now I have had no problems at all with it. But it was only like a day or two later that we had a huge snowstorm. And this was just, you know, last week that we had this snowstorm. And it was crazy. And it took Rob like 3 hours to get home, which he had a thankful attitude. He wasn't like, oh, I'm stuck in this traffic that I want to get home. You know, 3 hour drive is crazy for...
Well, it usually takes me 45 minutes to an hour. So to multiply that by three times, you know, it's frustrating. But I, as you said, I'm fine with driving, first off. Second off, being angry about being stuck in traffic because of snow isn't going to fix anything.
Exactly.
It's not going to help.
But I feel like even though I was stuck those few times, I believe it was like in preparation, like I had to get my car fixed so I wouldn't have been stuck in the snow trying to get it worked out and then having someone to help get my car out when it was such a busy, horrible
it was a
traffic
bad
and accident time that I really feel like I was able to get all my errands done that day because, I think it was seriously the day after you fixed it. So
because that morning you went out and did a bunch of errands.
Yes, I did all my errands.
After like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
I got home at 12:30. It started snowing at 1. And that's when I was like really thankful like that my car broke down when it did. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm so glad my car broke down.
Yeah.
So I was thankful for something bad. So I feel like sometimes we have to try to realize, like, as bad as it might be, there could be some really good reason for it and a good situation comes out of it. Granted, if someone that you love dies, there's no, like...
There's no consoling that.
You shouldn't be thankful that, oh, yay, my parent died. But I'm just saying, like, in situations,
I mean,
like...
you know, there are some times where that would happen, but...
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully there's no animosity between people when someone dies. But that's going off topic. But I'm just saying that, like, sometimes we react.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not trying to be calm and thankful for the situation, it's going to cause a lot of problems where we're going to be like, let me just replace the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I could be angry and like, this car is broken. I'll just get a whole new one.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it could be, it's an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's annoying. So I'm just saying that some people do that where they're not thankful for even some crazy situations that they, I mean, maybe they don't see that there was good in the end.
Yeah.
Because they're too worried about everything.
Mm-hmm.
That all they do is complain.
Yeah. My only comment would be sort of to the flip side, though, is that when we're saying this, we don't mean to pretend that you're not upset.
Right.
The point is not to just like, I'm angry, but I'm going to pretend that I'm happy. You know, like, don't bottle it up and pretend it's not there.
And I wasn't angry, but...
Yeah. But as we've talked about for me, like, yeah, I kind of have anger issues sometimes. Like, things, you know, certain things can kind of get me really upset. And, you know, like, I had a time a couple weeks ago at work, like a week and a half ago maybe, I was having a rough day, and I was getting really upset.
And then I called you and about the car, yeah, and that didn't
it was
help.
Same, yeah, so that made it worse. So I was having a really rough day, and, you know, I kind of acted out a bit because of it. But I also got over it and dealt with it.
Right, instead of pushing
quickly,
it aside.
Compared to pushing it down, and maybe by the time I had come home, it would have still been there.
Yeah, and
you know,
then
like,
you would
take
it out
I would have
on
taken
us
it
or
on,
something.
Yeah, exactly. So my opinion on that is that, you know what, like, if you're angry, it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
Like, don't pretend you're not, because you think you shouldn't be. That also doesn't mean, though, that I'm giving you a pass to, like, just lash out however you want.
Well, because you definitely shouldn't take your anger out on anyone.
Of course. But that's why I'm saying, if you are angry, be angry. Like, admit it. Like, you don't have to, like, pretend that you're not.
Right.
You're better off... I guess it's the whole thing, like, they say at, like, AA and stuff, right? Like, you know, admitting your problem is, like, the first step to recovery. So maybe that's kind of what it is. Like, if you know that you're angry, like, be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because... lying about it, denying it, is not going to help.
Yeah. And then it's going to make you bitter, and then you're not going to be thankful
exactly.
at all. You
and
won't
then,
be able to even try.
Exactly.
And so I think that's why some of the most crotchety people...
People that just hid everything about how they were feeling, probably.
That they instead are not dealing with it, that they can't see that sunshine coming through the window.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy trying to worry and think about all the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So... some advice to give on thankfulness in general is to try to see ways that you could bring joy out of something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think not just that. Like, yes, find the ways that you can highlight joy, you know, in everything that happens, good or bad. You know, I'm not going to say there's always a way to find joy.
Right.
Like we said, there are things that will happen that you can't. And we're not going to, again... don't pretend that there is if there isn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you have an average day, find the good in that and highlight it. Because I think that when you condition yourself to highlight the good where you are and what you're experiencing at that time, that'll make it easier to see what good there still is in the bad times.
Right.
You know, like you're able to kind of, and maybe it's even just the fact that you can kind of think about the good that you noticed a week ago or 2 weeks ago. You know, it's something that's there for you that you can almost use as like an anchor, I guess. You know, it's, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want us to sound like we're being like crazy preachy people about this, but it's just a way of trying to help you to be a person who can live in the world, like, with other people, and to not, you know, be a detriment to yourself or anyone else.
Right.
That's, I don't know.
Well, I feel like, lately especially, like, within the year, because I've been able to get rid of, like, pretty much everything that was clutter or things I didn't need or use, and it made me happy to have what I have, mm-hmm. and that it's caused my attitude to have a good...
We've had a better attitude about everything.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, I'm the type of person that you'll see, like, dancing in the grocery aisle or, like, singing songs. And, you know, my sons recently, they were, like, upset that I was telling them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you know that I do things that I don't like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like... Like what? And I said, I hate doing dishes. They're like, you do dishes all the time. I said, yeah, I do it like 3 or 4 times a day because mm-hmm. we don't have a dishwasher or anything. I was like,
yeah.
But you know what? I put on my headphones and I listen to a podcast or something mm-hmm. and I'm doing dishes and it makes it more enjoyable for me.
Yep.
And I'm having a good time then. So something I hate to do, it becomes a little more enjoyable and I'm thankful that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to complain about it. Because it's not going to get the job done. And it's not going to make it easier. And then I'm going to be mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put my anger out on you.
Yep.
And so I said, when I ask you to do something, I'm going to be doing the same thing. Like, I expect you to do things that I will do.
Mm-hmm.
So the same goes with just being content. It rubs off on people.
Mm-hmm.
They see you're thankful. They see you're content. And they're like, how come they're always so happy or thankful or whatever. It's like, because you're not trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always feeling like the need of satisfying that desire, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And that's, as we said, we just want to kind of throw out some of what we feel we've learned over the last few years and to try to just help share that a little bit in hopes that maybe doing this podcast can help to shape culture a little bit. You know, even if it's like one person at a time, one listener at a time or whatever, you know, if somebody hears what we said and they say, hey, that kind of makes sense. And they try to apply it to their own family. And then it, you know, turns out into a big pyramid scheme thing where all of a sudden there's like 3,000 people that are doing the same thing we were just because we bothered to make a podcast. Then, hey, that's, you know, that's how right. change happens.
It's kind of like the whole pay it forward movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It goes exactly. the same way with your attitude of thankfulness.
Mm hmm. So yeah, swing by simply-us.net, leave us comments, listen to episodes.
Write reviews.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Interact with us on social media.
Mm-hmm. Again, romcommovienightin.net.
For my new podcast, yes.
Because that'll be fun. And be thankful. And we love you.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.